like this morning to turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. We'd like to read the first 10 verses. 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through verse 10. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as those which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. This, of course, is the historical account of the queen of Sheba traveling to Jerusalem to see if what she had heard about Solomon was true. If he was really as wise as everybody said, if he was really as wealthy as she had heard. She was very rich herself. We see that from verse 2. She traveled some 1,200 miles to get to where Solomon was. That's a lot of miles in those days. That's a lot of miles nowadays, but that's a lot of miles. She traveled nearly 1,200 miles to get to Jerusalem. When she got there, she had questions for Solomon, which he answered. She observed his kingdom in verses 4 and 5. And we read, as a result, there was no more spirit in her. That is, what she saw stunned her. What she saw truly amazed her. And with that being said, keep in mind that what we read in the New Testament, a greater than Solomon is here. But that referring to Jesus Christ. But that's another message. She then declared her amazement to Solomon. She admitted that at first she was skeptical. She didn't really believe that someone could be that wise. She didn't really believe that someone could be that wealthy. But she went on to tell Solomon that his wisdom far exceeded what she had been told. And his wealth far exceeded what she had been told. But then I want you to notice in verse 8, and we want to take the thought of the message from what we read here in verse 8. As she's explaining the fact that she's overwhelmed by what she saw, there was something else that amazed her, something else that overwhelmed her. She said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." As she looked at the servants of Solomon, she could see. She could see without talking to them that they were happy. And this is a happiness, again, that she did not have. A happiness that she was not used to seeing. And what's important to notice here is that these individuals were happy in their everyday setting. They were happy in their everyday routine. their setting and routine, of course, was to be servants, and they're happy, and they stand continually before thee, and they hear thy wisdom. So these are individuals that are happy in their everyday setting. There are not too many people today that you can say, happy are these, in their everyday setting. Very, very few. In fact, it's getting fewer all the time. Not very many people you can look at in their daily routine and say, happy are these. Happy are these people. In their everyday life, they were happy. She could see that they were cheerful. She could see that they had joy. She could see that they had pleasure, that they were content. She could see that they had satisfaction. She could see that they were glad. And again, this is in their everyday setting. And as you look around today, how many people can you look at and say, they're happy? I mean, as you observe them every day, in their everyday setting. I want to speak today on the subject of the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. First of all, man lives. Man lives in pursuit of happiness. Especially in our society, our culture, man lives in the pursuit of happiness. The kind of happiness that we are speaking of is not temporary, is not short-lived. The Bible speaks of a happiness, a joy that is independent of all change, that is independent of all circumstances. It is a happiness that can be had in the very midst of calamity, a happiness that can be had in the very midst of sorrow and trials. Habakkuk, verses that we preached from last Sunday in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, declared that his joy was not dependent upon the fig tree's blossoming. His joy was not dependent upon fruit being upon the vine. His joy was not dependent upon fruitfulness in the fields. His joy was not dependent upon the herds and the flocks. He had a happiness that was independent of all of these things. Paul spoke of such. He possessed such. He said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." That is a happiness that is independent of circumstances. A happiness that is even independent of sorrow. Paul and Silas, they're in their prison cell with bleeding backs and in excruciating pain, had a song in their hearts and sang praise to God. They had a joy. They had a happiness that was independent of their situation. The writer of Hebrews wrote of those who took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. In other words, they had a happiness that was independent of all circumstances. So this is a happiness that we're talking about today that is independent of one's physical condition. It is independent of one's status in life. In fact, it is a happiness that will actually carry you through the pain and will carry you through the sorrow and the loss and the grief and the tears. It is a happiness that brings you through. In other words, everything does not need to be perfect to be happy. Everything does not need to be to your liking to be happy. Now, this is a newsflash to most. Everything does not need to be according to your preference in order to be happy. There is a happiness that is independent of all of these things. So the happiness that we're speaking about is an inward calm, an inward satisfaction, even in the very midst of adverse times. The Bible speaks of a happiness or joy that excels all others. We read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8 that ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. That is, it is a joy that cannot be fully explained. It is a joy that cannot be fully described. And then it goes on to say, and full of glory. That is, it is a joy that can be seen. Again, when the glory of God filled the tabernacle, all could see it. And they could also feel it. It is a joy that can be seen. It is a joy that can be felt independent of everything else. So this happiness is not just a temporary thing. And what she observed here in verse 8 was not temporary. She was observing individuals in their everyday life, what they do every day. And she said, happy are these thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand before thee and hear thy wisdom. So this happiness is not just temporary. It's not something that's short-lived. Almost everyone experiences some times of happiness. Almost everyone experiences some times of happiness, some times of joy. But I want you to know there is a difference today between experiencing a time of happiness and being happy. There is a great joy today in experiencing a time of joy and having real joy. And most Americans today experience times of happiness. But you just go sit in the mall for a while and watch people. They're miserable. People are unhappy. You go anywhere and watch people. People are unhappy. They have times of happiness. But happiness today is a very rare thing. So there is a happiness that goes beyond just a now and then experience. And that's what we're talking about this morning. I'm talking about a happiness that is a way of life. A happiness that is a way of life. Now, man has a false perception of happiness. He has a false perception of happiness. Most of God's people have a false perception of happiness. Most think that happiness is based upon feeling good. If I feel good, I'm happy. But this is a happiness that's independent of that. Most believe that happiness is based upon circumstances to their liking. If everything is according to my liking, I'm happy. Most believe that happiness is based upon being in a place to their liking. They believe that happiness is based upon their personal preferences being met. They believe that happiness is based upon certain conditions being met, upon what they perceive to be good. They base happiness upon the fulfillment of self. They base happiness upon the desires of self being met. They base happiness upon their comfort and the joy of self. They base happiness upon the acquiring of certain things or the acquiring of a certain amount of things. They base happiness upon what others are doing or what we think they ought to be doing. If they're doing what we think they ought to be doing, hey, I'm happy. But these really are not the base of the happiness that the Bible talks about. Most base happiness upon acceptance by others, upon recognition by others. They base their happiness upon certain attainments. So most look at happiness to be a life free of difficulties, a life free of problems, a life free of trials, free of adversity, free of heartache, free of sorrow, a life where there is no clouds, a life where there are no valleys, there is a stress-free life. If I can just have that, I'll be happy. No, you won't. If you had all of those things, those are not the things that bring happiness. We ought to know that. Because how many times we get to a point we think, well, only if this would change, I'd be happy. It changes and we're still miserable. And that's been happening all our lives. Somewhere along the line, we ought to get the message. Maybe my happiness really isn't based upon these things. But you see, man never seems to get that message. Man has a false perception of happiness. And what is man's what is the base of man's happiness? What is it that he perceives to be happy? Happiness. Self. And if everything is going like I think it should go, if everything is going like I like it, then man believes I can be happy. Well, first of all, it never happens. And secondly, that's not where happiness is. So man has a false perception of happiness. That being said, because of a man's false perception of happiness, there is a false pursuit of happiness. And that is why man spends his life pursuing happiness and yet never finds it. Because he's pursuing it in all the wrong places. Why is he pursuing it in all the wrong places? Because of his false perception of happiness. Because man believes that he has a right to be happy. That's wrong. None of us have a right to be happy. But that's what we've been taught all our life. Well, they have a right to be happy. Why? Why do they have a right to be happy? Why do I have a right to be happy? Why do you have a right to be happy? We don't. So we have to get that perception out of our minds. But man believes that he has a right to be happy, and man believes that he deserves to be happy. And because he believes those two things, I have a right to be happy and I deserve to be happy, man will pursue happiness at the expense of others. Because this is my right. This is what I deserve. And we pursue happiness at the expense of others. The relentless pursuit of happiness in our society, the relentless pursuit of happiness really drives the age in which we live. It drives man today. The pursuit of happiness. People are in pursuit today of happiness. To pursue means to run after. People are running after happiness. People are chasing after happiness. They are striving for happiness. They are seeking happiness. They are searching for happiness. They are occupying all their time in trying to obtain happiness. There is a relentless pursuit. Man is energetically and enthusiastically in pursuit of this happiness. But because of man's perception of where happiness is found, his pursuit is wrong, is all wrong. Because man thinks that happiness consists of feeling good, he chases after that which makes him feel good. Doesn't that make sense? If I believe that feeling good is what makes me happy, then I need to find whatever it is that makes me feel good, regardless of how it makes anyone else feel. And that's why people today are on an endless pursuit after that which makes them feel good. For this reason, he chases after wealth. Because after all, wealth makes me feel good. For this reason, he chases after fame. Or it could be knowledge. Or it could be entertainment. It could be sensual and carnal enjoyments. Whatever. It's whatever makes the individual feel good. They begin to pursue those things. Because man thinks that happiness consists of circumstances being to their liking, he's off in search of perfect circumstances. I don't like the circumstances I'm now in, and if they were different, I know I'd be happy. So off they go, pursuing different circumstances. And they spend their life doing that. And they run over to this circumstance, and they find out, you know what? I'm just as miserable here as I was over there, so now I'm going to go over here. And everywhere they go, they find out they're still miserable. But they keep pursuing that perfect set of circumstances. They keep pursuing it. And it's relentless. It never stops. And I believe it adds to your misery. I mean, if you keep running from place to place, hoping that this is where I'll find happiness, and each time it doesn't get any better, it gets worse, you're going to be miserable. I don't care who you are, you're going to be miserable. And this is the way man lives their life. Because man thinks that happiness consists of being in a place of their liking. I'm not happy because I live in such and such a place. If I could move here or move over there, oh, that's a good place. I know I'd be happy there. They pack everything up, they move there, and guess what? They're still miserable. They're still miserable. Because unless you can find a way to move there without bringing yourself, you're going to be miserable. Unless you can do it and get entirely away from yourself, you're going to be miserable. Because it's not the place. It's not the place. There is no special location where we find happiness. There's no special location in the United States. There's no special location in the state of Michigan where you find happiness. Oh, you may find times of happiness. You may find times of joy. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about happiness as a way of life. As a way of life. Because man believes that happiness consists of personal preferences being met, he strives for that. He strives for his or her preferences being met. Because they believe happiness is based upon what they perceive to be good, they go in search of what they perceive to be a good thing. Because they believe that happiness consists of their desires being filled, they chase after that. They seek to have all their desires filled. Because they believe that happiness is based upon comfort, they just add more and more and more comfort. We live in a society that's more comfortable than they've ever been and are more miserable. That should, again, somewhere along the line, it should click. Happiness is not found in comfort.
I believe you could go back 100 years and people did not have the comforts that you and I have. And I tell you, they were happier. They had a happiness that most people today know nothing about. But we think, well, if I can get a new air conditioner, I'll be happy. If I can get this, if I can get that, I'll be happy. Because this will make me more comfortable. You can be as comfortable as a man can possibly get, and still not going to bring you lasting happiness. This is the things they pursue. People believe that happiness is based upon acquiring things. So they go on a shopping bin because this is going to make me happy. Oh, it'll give you a time of enjoyment. It's not going to give you lasting happiness. But you see that man is so desperate for happiness today, he'll even settle for the time of enjoyment and then go back to his miserable life and then just strive for another moment of joy. And that's how he lives his life. He's so desperate that he will content himself almost in just the moments of joy. And he spends his life running to and fro. And in the days of modern travel, we can do a lot of running to and fro in search of happiness. Because man believes that happiness consists of freedom from certain adversities, they go in search of those places. I'll get to such and such a place and there won't be any adversity. Oh, there will be if you stay there long enough. And if you don't plan on staying there, you got to come back to your adversities. You see, that's not where happiness is found. Because man's pursuit of happiness runs in the wrong direction, it is a pursuit of futility. It really is. The happiness that man so earnestly pursues, that he so earnestly chases after, that he is constantly striving for, and is so occupied with, is always elusive. It's always elusive. It always seems just beyond his grasp. And that just causes him to just keep on pursuing. I almost had it. I almost had it in my hands, and oh, I'd have been happy the rest of my life. And they believe that. But it's always that way. It's always elusive. That's because the pursuit of happiness is an effort in futility. It is futile. People want to be happy. They want to be happy. Everyone here wants to be happy. And they think, again, that it is their right to be happy. That's where our thinking goes wrong. And that we are deserving to be happy. And because our perception of happiness is wrong, we run over here, we run over there in order to feel good. We run over here, we run over there to find circumstances to our liking. We run over here, we run over there to have our personal preferences met. This friend that I have over here, you know, the happiness is run off. So what I need is a new friend over here. So I'll run over these folks for a while. Well, after a while, they get to know me and I'm not happy there. So now I got to run over here and find some happiness, and on and on and on it goes. It's futile. The pursuit of happiness is futile. It is a futile pursuit. And again, you can obtain some happy moments. You can experience some happy times. But that's really not what man is looking for. He's looking for a life of happiness. People want to be happy. They mistakenly believe that happiness is found in the perfect place, so off they go. In the perfect set of people, these people accept me for who I am. I can laugh with these people. I can have a good time. I'm happy. It's only temporary. It's very short-lived. And then when you realize that, again, I need new people. I need new people in my life. What we're saying is, the reason I'm not happy is because of people. The reason I'm not happy is because of circumstances. The reason I'm not happy is because of this or because of that. And they never once stop and look in the mirror and say, I am the reason that I'm not happy. I'm the reason. And that's the truth. People don't want to go there. True happiness, I believe, is a result and not a pursuit. I don't believe that happiness is something that we ought to pursue. But I believe that happiness is a result. How many times we have all heard people say, well, the main thing is that you're happy. Is that the main thing? Next time someone says that, ask them. Well, the main thing is that you're happy. Is it the main thing? Sad thing is, that's what man believes. That happiness is the main thing. Well, the main thing is, whether it be your job or your marriage or whatever, where you live, you might be living in a life of sin. Well, the main thing is they're happy. It's not the main thing. And anybody that makes happiness the main thing are miserable individuals. Always so. You will not find anywhere in the Word of God, even where it is implied, that happiness is the main thing. That is a lie. That is based upon a deception of Satan. That is a distraction of the devil to get you pursuing happiness over here and over there. Happiness is not the main thing. Happiness could only be the main thing if you were the main thing. And you're not. Happiness could only be the most important if you are the most important. And you're not. Now, most don't believe that. Most honestly believe they are the main thing. And they are what is most important. But you'll never see a happy person that thinks that way. So this happiness is the main thing. That's based on a lie. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That is the main thing. The main thing is to glorify God. That is always the main thing. My happiness, your happiness, is never the main thing. Glorifying God is the main thing. And I believe as soon as we realize that and we live our life and that becomes our object, that becomes our aim, that becomes our goal, I am going to glorify God. Happiness will be the result of such an attitude. So it's not that we should be pursuing happiness. We ought to be pursuing, how can I glorify God? Yes, my circumstance isn't exactly how I'd like it. Perhaps I'm not living in the exact place that I would choose. But how can I glorify God in this circumstance? How can I glorify God in this place? That's where you'll find happiness. That's happiness as a result. That's why I said over and over, the pursuit of happiness is futile. If you're pursuing it, you will never obtain it because you're pursuing the wrong thing. Happiness is a result of pursuing the right thing. Paul told Timothy In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, he said, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That is, Timothy, pursue these things. Do you see happiness on that list? No. Because happiness is not to be pursued. Happiness is the result of pursuing righteousness. Happiness is the result of pursuing godliness. Happiness is the result of pursuing faith and love and patience and meekness. You go into bookstores today and the biggest section is the self-help section. Because people are pursuing happiness. What they need to do is just change their pursuit. And they might find that happiness. Pursue the right things. Happiness is the result of living with the right object and the right goal, which is to glorify God, which leads us to pursue godliness and the light. There is a happiness that is more than just an ever, now and then experience. There is a happiness that is more that is more than just a time of happiness. Oh, I'm going to go to the ball game. I'm going to go to this concert. I'm going to go to this. I'm going to do that. And oh, I'm so happy. I had such a good time. But the problem was you had to come home. And it's all over. Oh, if I just live somewhere else. That's not it. If my circumstances were just different, that's not it. There is a happiness that is a way of life. But it comes from pursuing the right things. Here in our text, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee. That's where happiness is found. And hear thy wisdom. We read in Psalm 36 and verse 8 of the river God's pleasures. That's happiness as a way of life. God's pleasures. Psalms 46 and verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You see, we can have the very pleasures of God. We can have the very gladness that only God can give. But that's not found in the things of this world. It's not found in the philosophies of this world. And I know today, I know from experience, that there's going to be people here today very upset, very angry. Because as I've said before, when I preach on happiness, more people get mad than any other subject. It's the truth. That is the honest truth. They get very angry. Go ahead, just spend the rest of your life in a futile pursuit. That's what it's going to be. It's futile. If that's what you're pursuing, is happiness. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, I've set the Lord always before me, therefore my heart is glad. Seek the presence of God. Happiness as a way of life is a result of recognizing and acknowledging God as God. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. That's what it says. Recognize God for who He is. There's happiness in that. There's happiness in that. Happiness is a result of reverence to God. Happy is the man that feareth alway. Proverbs 28, verse 14. We need to strive to reverence God more. Maybe my circumstances are not what I would have chosen. Maybe the place that I live is not where I would really like to live or whatever it is. But you begin to pursue, I'm going to give more and more reverence to God. And I'm telling you, there's a happiness as a result of reverencing the Lord. Happiness is a result of knowing and obeying the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. That's what He said. He didn't limit it to circumstances. He didn't limit it to place. He didn't limit it to anything. He said, if you know these things and do them, happy are ye. Happiness is a result, not a pursuit. Happiness as a way of life is not the result of a life without suffering. but it is a result of enduring suffering as Christ. We read in James 5 in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Oh, if I could only get rid of all my sufferings, I'd be happy. No, if you'd learn to endure your sufferings, you'd be happy. Happiness is a result, not a pursuit. Happiness as a way of life is a result of a life not patterned after the ungodly. Read Psalm 1, verse 1. Read Psalm 1, verse 2. We've run out of time. It's a result of a mind saturated with God. Happiness as a way of life is a result of certain attitudes. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, we have there in Matthew chapter 5 what is known as the Beatitudes. That is, be in this attitude. That's what that means. Be in this attitude. And if you're in this attitude, we read over and over, blessed. That is happy. That, again, is a reminder that happiness is not a pursuit. Happiness is a result. Be in the attitude of being poor in spirit, because there's happiness there. Be in the attitude of mourning. Be in the attitude of the meek. And be in the attitude of hungry and spiritually. And you can read it yourself, but we've run out of time. But you see, happiness is the result of a right attitude. That's why you take your stinking attitude, well, I don't care where you go, you're going to be miserable. And that's what people do. Well, if I can just get over here, I'll be happy. But the problem is you've dragged your stinky attitude with you. And you can't be happy. It's not possible. So what is the pursuit of your life? I've had people say, "Brother Dan, I just want to be happy." That's the wrong pursuit. It ought to be, "I just want to glorify God." And I'm telling you, as a result of that, you will have some happiness. Will your life be perfect? Of course not. But that's the whole point of the message. Our life doesn't have to be perfect. What is it that we run and chase after? What is it that we strive for? "Oh, I just want my children to be happy." Yes, all of us do. But that, we have done them a disservice if we lead them in any way to think that's the main thing and that is something that they need to pursue, is happiness. No, you do what's right. You pursue the things of God. And that's where happiness is found. Do not make happiness the object of your life. Because in doing that, you have to make self the object of your life. And there's not much happiness in self. There's not much joy to be found in self. So again, I hope today that we can realize in this society in which we live, where everybody is pursuing happiness, that we come to realize that happiness is not a pursuit, but it is a result. And there are some things that we need to pursue, and we need to be earnest in our pursuit. And I believe if we would pursue the right things, we will find happiness. How many people today, drive down the street, you don't have to drive far, drive down the street and look at people that thought they'd find happiness in a bottle. They didn't find it there. And I believe at one time they thought they would. And what's sad is some of them still think that's where they're going to find it. When will man ever learn? Happiness is not a pursuit. It is a result. It is a result of doing what we ought to do. Do I want to be happy? Of course. Everybody wants to be happy. But oh, the sooner we realize where happiness is found, the better off we will be. People will say, oh, you know, I'm old. I can't be happy. Thing is, they died young. They complained about that. Pursue the right things. Live our life and have a life that our way of life would be happy. Not a life free of stress, not a life free of sorrow and grief, but a joy. But a joy in the Lord. Happy to be alive. Happy to be alive so that I can serve God. Happy to be alive so I can glorify God. And everything that happens and every situation we find ourselves in, we need to train our minds and we need to be serious. I'm going to strive. Obviously, God put me in this situation. I'm going to strive to glorify God in it. There's a joy to be found in those things. Brother Larry, if you'd come. Please, verse